Welcome, everyone, to iAfrica Media, the biggest podcast channel for all things IK on the African continent. I'm your host, Obi Malopi, all the way from South Africa. And today, I've got the privilege and the honor of hanging out with a good old friend and great industry colleague, Lizelle. How are you today?
Fine, and you, Obi?
I'm very well, thank you. You're back in practice after the various lockdowns that have been placed in our country. How has it been this past week being back in practice again?
Yeah, Obi, it's been quite a challenge to get used to all the cleaning and all the things we have to wear. And the steaming up was actually the biggest problem. You know, you actually don't realize how close you work with patients. So you're steaming up at the slit lamp, you're steaming up when you do 90 diopter, you can't do direct ophthalmoscopy because it's not recommended. So it's been a whole new normal that we have to adjust to. And the steaming up issue was the biggest challenge for me this week.
I hear you. And the rest of the team, how has it been for them in terms of adapting to the new normal?
Yeah, Obi, I think it's been a challenge for all of us because, you know, we had to sit with a list and go through all our, you know, PPE and just our protocols with patients. You know, we even had to put an extra COVID-19 page on our website. So there were so many things that we had to think of and, you know, just make sure that we've got everything covered. So I think people are a little bit overwhelmed, to be honest. But I think, you know, as the weeks will go on, I think we'll get used to it. Dr. De Beer actually comes, you know, he comes quite frequently and say, let's add this and this shield and this and that. So it's actually quite a challenge, but I think slowly but surely we'll get used to how it's gonna go.
I hear you. We all have to adapt and find new ways of doing things. Now, Lizelle, where did your love for optometry come from? Who is Lizelle? How did you end up in optometry?
Oh, you know, Obi, it's actually quite interesting. You know, since school, I've really loved chemistry and math. And I was actually the only one that had art in the math class and the only one in my art class who had math. So it was quite an interesting combination. But you know, I also started wearing contact lenses in 1996. I'm a sort of lowish myope, around about -2.5. And, you know, I remember actually how I struggled to get these lenses in. And I taught myself a little trick to get them in. And to this day, I actually teach that to my patients who really struggle to get their soft contact lenses in. And so that's where my love for contact lenses specifically really started. Wow. So I enjoyed, in varsity, I've also enjoyed contact lenses there. And I can tell you now, I've given a few lectures, some sleepless nights with some of my questions.
Wow. I hear you. And you currently work in an ophthalmologist eye care center. How is that?
Yes, it is very interesting because, you know, you actually see a lot of pathology and a lot of clinical work there. So, you know, I've in this April that's passed, I've been there for 10 years now.
Wow.
And, And there's four specialists there, so they all sort of specialize in their own things. So you see a little bit of everything. And I actually, I came across a few years back across another optometrist who also locumed, and she also worked there for an ophthalmologist there, and she was on her way to pursue some other interests. And there was an ophthalmologist who needed an optometrist. I was available, and I was keen for the new challenge. So I really enjoyed working there. You can actually, you know, see so many things that you won't really always see on such a regular basis in a normal practice. So I could really sort of zone in on those corneas and those keratoconic patients and patients with corneal issues like transplants, and, you know, just really see the worst of the worst cases, because those are the ones that comes to the ophthalmologists.
I hear you. And is that where, because what I've noticed from you over the last few years in getting to know you is you have developed some form of niche for contact lenses, particularly advanced contact lenses. Is it because of the environment that you found yourself in that led to that? How did that journey unfold?
So yes, Obi, it was actually quite interesting. So my love for contact lenses has always been there, like I've said.
Yes.
And what happened is, you know, in 2011, I did the New England, that study of advanced and specialized contact lenses through the New England College of Optometry in 2011. And from there, it is so interesting because when that scleral lens bug has bitten you, it's quite a big bite. Because I remember when I just started fitting scleral lenses back in 2012, I actually wanted to fit everything with a cornea with a scleral lens. And then I actually realized, look, after a few years of doing it, I've actually realized, you know, you need to be a little bit more conservative and selective with who you fit with what. And, you know, every patient is different, every clinical presentation is different, and every ocular surface has challenges. So it's unfortunately not a one size fits all. But, you know, they've come in so many different types of corneal conditions there that I've really sort of zoned into how can I, you know, really help these patients post-RK, post-penetrating keratoplasty, post-ectasia, LASIK ectasias, and, you know, whatever corneal conditions, you know, you see them all bright and beautiful there at that practice.
I hear you. And from a clinical point of view, do you find that you are more confident and better equipped to handle advanced cases because of the working environment that you're in? Or can any optometrist who's working in, for example, a shopping center, who is not perhaps seeing those difficult cases on a day-to-day basis, also be able to develop those skills in the environment that they're in? Or can those skills only be limited to those who are exposed to an ophthalmologist type of practice?
Oh, we know. Most of us in practice, normal practice, has seen post-RK patients. We've all seen penetrating keratoplasty patients. You know, so we've seen all of those patients. I think the thing is just, you know, you don't see them as much as you would at the specialist practice, but that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, do something for them. I think the biggest challenge when it comes to a normal practice versus, you know, ophthalmologist practice is that the equipment.
Okay.
So the equipment is quite expensive, you know, to have to fit these things comfortably, like the topographer that we use as the Pentacam. And, you know, it is an expensive piece of equipment. It's always, if you want to pursue something in, you know, specialized contact lens fitting, it is such an investment to invest in something like a Pentacam. We've also got an OCT there, and, you know, where we can do anterior chamber OCTs of the cornea with the lenses on, which is a lovely, lovely, lovely piece of equipment. But yeah, these are expensive. So, you know, it's almost like you need to decide in your everyday optometry practice, what do you want to have more interest in? Is it children? And then you go into pediatrics and you get equipment and testing things that would suit that niche. Do you want to go into contact lenses? Is it low vision? Because then you would invest in equipment and things to help you with that. So I think it's a question of where is your passion and what do you want to pursue? Because, you know, this equipment is not cheap. But it's such an investment if you can. So I'm actually a little bit spoiled having these machines to my availability there. But yeah, that doesn't mean optometrists can invest in a piece of equipment like that and pursue specialty contact lenses if they feel that's really a passion that they have.
I hear you. So let's say now I'm listening into this podcast right now and I'm an optometrist working in a mall, and I want to develop my skills and I want to get into more advanced contact lenses, for example, but I don't have the resources to purchase the necessary equipment, but I can start off with perhaps a topographer or an OCT, and that's where my budget allows me to start. From a starting point as an optometrist who wants to get into more contact lenses, what are the clinical steps that I can take in getting me towards that direction? Do I need to attend conferences? Do I need to, what is it that I can do as an optometrist to get involved in fitting more advanced contact lenses, for example?
Okay, so firstly, I would say that, you know, try and go to as much conferences, webinars, and meetings as you can, just to get a bit of knowledge. But, you know, Obi, I want to say, you know, if you've got the passion, the patience, and the confidence, okay, you're more than halfway there.
Wow.
So that's the first thing that I would tell these optometrists. And, you know, even if you don't have a topography, you can send them to the ophthalmologist to have a topography done. They can send you topography, and you can work from there. You don't always have to have an OCT to be able to fit scleral lenses, but, you know, just to have those topographies will give you, you know, just an overview of what you are actually dealing with on that cornea. And yeah, so there's so many platforms where you can learn. You know, skill can be learned, you can develop that, but, you know, if you've got the passion and the confidence and the patience with these patients, you know, then you can actually, you're already quite far in the process, because that is actually the biggest thing, is to ask yourself, do you have time in the practice that you are at the moment to spend time with these patients? Because it is a lot of chair time. So I think you need to decide, is it something you would like to pursue? And there's always, you know, ways where you can slowly but surely get involved and, you know, and just read about the different designs out there, ask another optometrist or another fitter that's maybe got a little bit more experience, go and sit in with them with a patient, see what designs they're using. I usually recommend about two or three designs that you know very well. And, you know, just start somewhere slowly. Pick a patient. One day that patient will land in your chair and you would think, maybe this is a chance for me now to try it out. And just be confident and believe that you'll do it. And if you are confident in your product and in your fitting abilities, the patient's confident in you.
Wow, that is quite detailed and well laid out. Now, the question then becomes, because you mentioned that there's like two or three visits that the patient will need to do initially. When do you discuss the cost implications with patients? Right at the start? And what are some of the challenges when it comes to pricing that you encounter? And how do you overcome some of those challenges with patients?
Yeah, Obi, so that is definitely one of the challenges when it comes to price. That is why I have, you know, I have a discussion with these patients before we start with anything. What I'm very, you know, confident about is to counsel your patients before the time of what their options are, and also give them some more information to read about the lens that you are planning to fit.
Okay.
And I've actually come to a point where I have also got a contract for my patients.
Wow.
So I feel it's very important, because your patient needs to understand the follow-up visits, what it entails, the time that it entails. You know, you can be busy with them for 3 to 4 months if you need to do exchanges on fits. Sure. But that means they have to come to all your follow-ups and they have to adhere to your protocol. Otherwise, it will fall outside of the warranty, and, you know, and then it makes things very difficult, because then what you've quoted then might become more expensive. So they really need to understand the process very, very well. They need to know that the first appointment is going to be a long appointment, because they need to sit with the lenses a little bit. You might do some scans if you've got those equipment. Yeah, so you have a protocol, and they need to understand. If they're well informed, they are very compliant, and they're actually much more patient in getting to the place where they are happy with their contact lenses.
Wow, that is incredible. So obviously in your case, because of the type of working environment that you are in, you are expecting a particular type of patient to come into your practice on a regular basis. But for that optometrist who's now getting more confident in fitting sclerals, who's very much passionate and interested in going that route, how best should they structure their patients coming in, or book their patients? Is it a 2-hour examination? Is it a 3-hour examination? When you're starting out, because your clinical skills perhaps are not at the level at which they are supposed to be in order for you to become more efficient. So what would be best that you would recommend for practitioners to start off with in terms of how should they schedule their appointments when they're getting started with Skills?
So I would suggest that you first just have a bit of a chat session with a patient. It could be after you've tested their eyes and noticed that they might be a potential candidate for scleral lenses or another specialty lens. Just discuss the options with them and just give them a little bit of a feel for, you know, what is the difference between the lenses. Just have a discussion with them, even if it is for about 20 minutes. You know, talk about price, talk about time, things like that. When the patient are happy with everything, they've signed the contract, they are in this boat with you, I would say as a new practitioner, I think give yourself 2 hours for the first appointment.
Okay.
Because you want to put that lens on, you want to see how things are sitting, and even before you put it on, you want to have a look at that cornea, you want to have a look at the lids, you want to make sure there's no dry eye conditions there. So there's quite a few things that you want to check on that first visit. So that first visit is very important, and that's why it is a bit of a lengthy one. So practitioners need to just decide what time in their week would that be a sufficient time to book these patients. I know sometimes what you can do is if they wait and sit a little bit with the lenses for 20 minutes, you can maybe just see another patient quickly for follow-up or another consult, just a bit of counseling with another patient. So you can schedule your things according to the times. And then after your two-hour visit and you've ordered some trial lenses for them, that visit is not as long because then you just want to put the lenses on, make sure they can see, and you send them home. At that appointment, I don't do a lot of testing and scans or anything like that. I just look at very basic few things. Yeah.
And with regards to patients, do you only communicate with the patient or should family members and be involved in the management process of fitting sclerals?
I think it depends on the age of the patient.
Okay.
You know, sometimes, usually the patients have either their wife or their husband coming along, or if it's a child, the parents are there. So then it becomes a bit more of a family sort of discussion. Some patients, you know, are very capable of discussing everything on their own with you and making that decision of what they want to do. But usually the patients comes with somebody in their family. So it ends up becoming more of a bit of a family sort of intervention and situation. But it depends on the age of the patient. If they're a little bit older, you know, sometimes they also have a helper that comes with them if they're struggling to walk and things like that.
I hear you. What I've noticed on social media is that there's a big scleral lens society that is there as a support structure for optometrists who are into sclerals. In the context of South Africa, are there support structures that people are perhaps not aware of that are available, that they know that once they go the route of scleral lenses, they have got options to go and access resources, platforms, and individuals who are there for them to get help from? Are there such platforms available in South Africa? Or organizations that are there for support?
At the moment, it's mostly the Contact Lens Society.
Okay.
They do have a Facebook group, and they also let you know if there's webinars, and they also share some information from overseas fitters regularly on their page. They'll let you know if there's conferences. So that's definitely something to start off with. I think we might want to zone into, you know, just what we put on that platform just to help new fitters a little bit more. But people and fitters are welcome to just share their cases on there, and we all sort of put our heads together. On that Facebook page, there's also overseas fitters that's joined that page. So even if you share some of your cases, you know, you'll have some brains that we put together all over the world. So that's definitely a place to start with. like you mentioned, the Scleral Lens Society, well, they started in America, but now it's global, the Scleral Lens Society. And you can also, you know, become a member there, and they've got great resources. You can also become a fellow, do a fellowship of the Scleral Lens Society, and then become a fellow of their society, which I'm currently busy with.
Wow.
But yeah, it's quite interesting and exciting.
Wow.
And then you've also got the Contact Lens Spectrum that has got awesome resources in terms of articles, and they've got a monthly magazine and, you know, focus just on our country, because there's such a wealth of information and knowledge out there from, you know, other fitters.
Wow, that is incredible. So when you're starting out as a practitioner, you at least are reassured that there are enough platforms and resources that are available. And with regards to the scleral lens options in the context of South Africa, are they readily available? Do we have enough suppliers? That what is the waiting period? If I'm a patient and I'm needing scleral lenses and I go to a practice, what is the waiting period between the fit sets as well as the final sclerals that the patient is going to wear? And how many sets does a patient get given, and when do they have to change them again going forward?
So, yeah, that's quite a few questions in there. So when we look at the designs that's available, we do have a local designer that does do sclerals. Okay. It's the Contact Lens Lab of South Africa.
Okay.
So I have got some few patients on some of their lenses. I also use an overseas design, which is called the Blanchard. It's called the One Fit Med.
Okay.
I've imported the fitting set last year, and their support is absolutely amazing. They are actually now being distributed by Danka to the South African fitters.
Wow.
So you can just phone Danka. They will also, we were going to have a little talk on the, I did do a talk on their fitting set, on their fitting tool and set just before the lockdown. And we were going to have another one in Pretoria, but then the lockdown set in. But we will have some training on that, and I'm sure Danka will assist any fitter with any fitting or any questions they may have. So that is definitely in terms of design. So there's very nice designs available at the moment. And your other question was that, you know, what is the turnaround time of these lenses. So basically, I've received my scleral fitting set from Canada, from Blanchard, within a week.
Wow.
Through Danka, I think they say 2 weeks, because obviously they wait for a few orders to be finished before they send the shipping back. So I would say, you know, you will wait about 2 weeks to get your first trial set that you've ordered. And then, yeah, it's usually about 2 weeks. If you do an exchange, you usually wait about 2 weeks. So it is a bit of a long process. But most of these designing companies, they do have like a certain time limit for you to do exchanges. I know that Blanchard Labs gives about 90 days.
Okay.
So you've got 3 months, you know, to really, and that is why it's so important that the patients need to know that they have to come for their follow-ups in the right times. Because if they don't, they just extend the time that you need to look at the fit and make changes. And then that could be a problem later on.
Wow. And so with the patient, once everything is done, you've gone through all those follow-ups, when do I come back as a patient or to change the sclerals that you have given me to a new set? Or how long do the sclerals last?
I must be honest with you, Obi. I've had patients who had the lenses now for 3 years, the same set.
Okay.
So, yeah, so they are, sometimes they just need to be polished again. But yeah, you can, you know, it's usually about 2 years, but they can push it a little bit longer if the lens's material is still in a good condition and there's not a lot of deep scratches and chips and all kinds of things like that. But yeah, they usually have the lenses for about 2 years. After a successful fit, I usually see them in about 6 months if I'm worried about just checking their fit again and just make sure they're fine. Otherwise, you can see them once a year. But every 6 months, I think it's actually a good thing because, you know, you can just go through your compliance again with the solutions. How do they put them in? What do they put inside? Because what I've noticed, if you leave them for too long, what happens is they start putting in other, you know, solutions and salons into the bowl, and they start not cleaning the lenses as they should, and then they start getting some issues and some complications. And then if you talk to them and you go through all of that whole regimen again, you realize, oops, they're doing this and this not right, and then you just need to sort that out again. So I would say every 6 months.
Wow. Do you find that scleral lens patients are more loyal than spectacle only type of patients, for example, in terms of they don't move around from one optometrist to another very often as compared to scleral lenses? They would sort of like scleral lens wearers, they would stick with the same optometrist going forward. Is that what you have picked up in the 10 years that you have been exposed to scleral lenses?
Yes, I've definitely experienced that. I think if they've got a very serious corneal condition and you've got them to a place where they can drive again and when they can function again, they will definitely not just go somewhere else because you've earned their trust and you've basically give them functional vision back. And, you know, they are very loyal customers. You know, if you just a minus two myope, you can have another pair of glasses made optometrist next door and there's no real thing to it. But because they, you know, are patients that are really struggling with their vision, and you know, some of them have got debilitating vision, and if you can just restore some of that vision, you know, they are the most grateful and the most loyal patients, that's for sure.
Now for the young optometrists who are listening in and are being inspired and motivated to go this route, is Lizelle available for mentorship?
Yes, absolutely. Look, I work with my cases all the time. I'm always busy with a patient's case and trying to figure out how we're going to fix this and that and make that better. So they are more than welcome to drop me an email. They are more than welcome to, you know, come and sit in when they've got a patient that they want me to fit with them. And we can go through that process together. So I actually love teaching and I love, you know, just imparting what I've learned in my experience, and because that's what you do when you're passionate about something. So they are more than welcome to contact me.
Are there any books that people can purchase or that you would recommend for them to sort of like read up more on advanced contact lenses or scleral lenses per se? What would you recommend as reading material for optometrists?
There is one book that Dr. Melissa Barnett has written with Daddy Farrell. It's called Scleral Lens Success.
Yes.
That is a very good book. I would definitely give something like that. But I must be honest, the most of the knowledge that I've gained was through reading articles, other fitters, what they are doing, and just basically getting into it and doing your own fit. And that's the biggest way of learning, is just jumping in the deep side and swimming, and that's how you learn. The thing is, you have to come across complications to know what to do. So, you know, I think a lot of optometrists are scared for scleral lenses fitting them because they think, you know, if they're going to come across some complications, what are they going to do? This is expensive lenses. What if the patient tells me, I don't want the lenses anymore? You know, that's real fears. But I think, like I said, firstly, if you counsel your patient very well and, you know, you know your knowledge in terms of what you've learned and you just, you know, fix the things that are a little bit issues here and there, you know, that is the biggest way of learning, is by doing it yourself. But yes, there's wonderful platforms out there, but Contact Lens Spectrum has got wonderful articles on contact lenses, not just sclerals. So I would just read a lot and just interact with a lot with some other fitters. Yeah.
Wow, Lizelle, this has truly been a great podcast to listen to and be part of, because you have shared so much insight and it's not as complicated as perhaps a lot of optometrists would have thought about it, you know, because I've noticed that a lot of practitioners are scared of hard contact lenses, scleral lenses, you know. So you have literally given us some great pearls that I believe can get us on the right track in getting started with advanced contact lenses. So thank you very, very much for that.
That is a big pleasure, Obi. And just remember, I think it is quite a challenge for anyone to put a big lens like that in the patient's eye. So just remember that, you know, it's almost like a comrade's runner. You know, people tend to forget that they've all started running for the first time, and after half a kilometer they were dying of exhaustion. So, and then, you know, the more you do it, the more you get comfortable with the process, and then, you know, almost like a runner that starts cruising nice and comfortably, you know, you'll start cruising with your fittings. And just remember also, you know, you sometimes feel like you are doing great, skills are going well, but sometime you will hit something that's going to challenge you with the lenses, which is fine. And you just overcome that and you keep running with it.
I like that. I like that. Where can people get you online?
So online, I am on, I'm on Facebook with my personal page, but I've got a LinkedIn page as well. They are more than welcome to contact me on the LinkedIn page. And then obviously we've got a website that, that's actually part of the practice. It's called Eye Vision Africa, and that they will also find there. They can, you know, just contact us there if they want to speak to me. Our office contact number is on there, but if they want to contact me personally, LinkedIn will probably be the best.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much. All the best with the next few months. And I hope I'll get feedback from you in the next couple of months from all the new young optometrists who are reaching out to you, and as well as even the older ones who are reaching out to you, needing assistance and help with regards to scleral lenses. It will be great to touch base with you again towards the end of the year to find out how your practice managed to survive through COVID-19 restrictions and so forth.
Yes, thanks, Obi. And it would be lovely to talk to any of those fitters. And just something, you know, that I thought about this morning when I went running, I thought, you know, you have to have purpose for the present and a goal for the future. And I think sometimes we lack purpose, sometimes we lack a goal. And if we've got both of them, then we're definitely moving in the right direction. So thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to talk to you. It was lovely to hear your voice. And, you know, where we can't see anyone, it was really nice. So thanks for having me.
Take good care. That's it, everyone. Be sure to connect with us on our different social media platforms. That's iAfrica Media. See you again soon.